Testing. Okay, we're ready. Have you ever known a grandma looks as hot as she do? She be looking so fly, you would never know she's 62. I tell ya, she looks so fine, her skin got hardly any lines. The only thing I'd say is that her neck might need a redo. That's okay, I love her anyway. She's a legend, she's possessing me, she won't go away. I don't care that she's 2 times as old as my mother, but that's not what this song is about. You'd think that the song was about a yummy grandmommy who I want, y'all. You'd be wrong, cause it's not about her. Erica. Good thing she don't know it. I wrote this song about my friend who's a cokehead. Who the hell cares, cause she thinks it's for her. Erica. Yo, people. That Erica Kane, she sure is fly. Good thing she thinks this song is about her, you know. Else those ABC Disney people be really pissed off, you know what I'm saying? This week on All My Children, we got us an Erica Kane. And ABC thinks the Nile is a river in Egypt.
After 20 years of searching for answers that will help him put the pieces of his tortured life together, Jesse finds a stuffed elephant?
Kendall and Zach reignite their passion, and Tad will soon realize he's made a very bad investment.
And thank God JR went to Supercuts. All this week on the Pine Valley Podcast.
Welcome to the Pine Valley Podcast for the week ending April 25th, 2007. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I am your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
He's my co-host. And he is back. Much to the delight of many fans.
Oh, my God. I need to talk about it.
All right, we're not talking about it. Anyway, we're so glad to have you on the show.
Thank you.
I was speaking with Jordan before the show, and oh, my goodness.
We got a lot to talk about.
There's
a lot of drama behind the scenes on All My Children this week.
A lot of behind the scenes and a lot of information. That I never would have known had I not been blessed with his incredibly gigantic brain.
Well, y'all don't know this, but I do have an inside source.
You do?
Yes, but like every good reporter, like Lois Lane and Hildy Johnson and Brenda Starr, I cannot reveal my sources, but I do have a source.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
Who the hell is Hildy Johnson?
Oh, Lord. You don't know who Hildy Johnson is. You never saw His Girl Friday with Rosalind Russell and Cary Grant?
Oh, I did. Is that
Hildy Johnson, yes.
Oh,
I love that movie.
I did see that movie.
It's one of my favorites.
See, that's what people don't know about us Latinos. We love old movies.
Oh, I love old movies.
Love old movies. Like, my father, when the Turner Classic Movies, like, he liked TMC. I think it was the movie channel.
Yeah, TCM.
But there was another channel, like AMC.
AMC has commercials. I don't like that.
Well, it used to be Movie Classics or something. But now it's not really that anymore. And TCM came on board, and yes, he was so happy.
That's where I get all my movies. I love TCM. I DVR everything.
It's excellent. So anyway, well, we are so glad to be with you.
Yes. What are we going to start off with
first? We have to start, in my humble opinion, with Miss Erica.
We'll go into the show.
Well, listen, we got some pre-story to do. Should we just cover the pre-story?
We got some gossip about what's going on. What?
We got to build this story.
Which story?
The Erica story.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
We'll start at the beginning for y'all. We don't want to just jump into the most choice part. We want to take our time, nice and slow. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, work into it.
That's right. Ease into it. A woman likes to ease into things. You know what I'm saying? Like attention and love and cuddling and kissing. I'm talking about stories. I'm sorry. I got a little excited.
I don't know where she's going with this.
Where was my mind going?
We're going to see the opposite on this. We got a different opinion on this storyline right now.
I don't know that we do. Do we? I
thought we did, but okay. Maybe
Let's
I'm wrong.
Let's see what happens. You remember that white girl at the beginning of the week that was going to hurt Erica?
She's pretty.
She's a little too pretty for that role.
Would you want it to be stereotyped that all women that are in prison are these lesbian butch lesbians?
I like the
realistic ones. Like, I love that pleasantly plump woman.
Oh, I love her too.
She's my favorite because she looks like she has a big tattoo. I don't know if it's real, but she has a big tattoo on her arm.
And she's very funny with the comic timing.
She's hysterically funny.
Look, I'm loving, you know, Cell Block H.
Yes, I enjoy it.
This storyline's cute.
I go up and down, but I'm enjoying it.
I know our friend CR. CRS17. She's not crazy about it. She's a little, but
I'm always hesitant to call someone a he or a she because we don't know if this is a he.
Oh, I know. It could be a he or it could be a he.
It could be a he.
All right.
Super Poster was so funny when I first started reading Super Poster's blog, and he is the best. You have to go to Super Poster's
blog. Hi, Super Poster.
Hi, Super Poster. He is at www.myspace.com/Super Poster of the Year all together. Go to it, read it. He's got the best blog, little tidbits and information. Anyway, when I first started corresponding with him, I thought he was a girl. And he sent me like a really nice email. He's like, I'm a boy. I'm a man. So. So CRS-17, Mr. or Mrs. CRS-17,
yes.
Doesn't like the way the story's going.
Yeah. Well, no. CRS-17 said they just...
Oh, liked
they
it felt at first.
Yeah, liked it at first. They loved the part where Harm and Erica were on the run, but right now they're a little enough with them cleaning the, you know,
the detergent bottles.
But I and this is where we're going to differ towards the end of the week. That's where we're... Because you think the storyline is going to go one way, and I'm thinking a totally different...
Oh, well, I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. Well, basically what happens is this... I think her name is Sherry.
Yes.
Sherry is not going to kill Erica. She just wants to, like...
Get help.
And she don't know how to do it. Like, she's afraid. Like I kind of bought that. Like, if she put her heart out there and Erica stomped all over it, she didn't want to be, like, put her heart out there and be stomped on. So she, like, threatened Erica to help
her. Yeah, she said that. She's like, yeah. Well, I don't know. You're going to diss me or like.
That's right. So, yeah. So it turns out, like, she pulls out a piece of paper like she's going to get a gun or a knife or something. I don't know. It was just a piece of paper. It was a picture of her little daughter. So she wanted help with her daughter, to see her daughter and make sure her daughter was doing okay and stuff like that. So I have to say, though, I really liked all of them. I thought that they were great.
Oh, all four of the girls.
I
yes.
They were so
I
much
love,
fun.
Especially
I liked
the big
girls.
One. I thought her comic timing was great.
The big one. She was so funny. I love her. Oh, and then I love when the fat Latin girl admitted that she has self-esteem issues.
Yeah.
It was awesome. They said that they were scared by Erica Kidd. Erica's yes. like, who, me? Little me? I scared you? So then Erica comes up with all these ideas, and actually they come up with the ideas.
Yeah, well, she tells them, what do you need help with?
And
they all
like,
start saying what their individual,
classes,
yeah, parenting
college,
classes,
job training,
rehabilitation.
Exactly.
They
want to
get, you know, and the reason, I'm going to tell you why I like this storyline, because they could have gone, you know, the route that every other show does where these girls would just, you know, badasses, and they didn't like her because she's a celebrity and they want to be, but we're getting to see these women in prison as real people. And I'm loving the fact that it's also showing us how Erica Kane herself has evolved and changed and grown up.
That is true.
Because God knows the Erica from 1970s would not be helping nobody out but herself.
That's really true.
And I think that's really the reason true. The show they're going this route is to show how evolved Erica has become, you know.
Well,
and
Erica
and
wants to give them all a new beginning.
And I think it's a very noble thing that she wants to do.
I don't have a problem with that.
And she wants to help them, and I'm loving this.
What I'm saying is that, first of all, Carmen loves this about her. She's like, and that's the thing, that their friendship is deepening.
Yes.
And that's really nice.
Love me some Carmen.
And Carmen says, you really are all that in a bag of chips, superstar. She keeps calling her superstar.
Superstar.
I love it, you know, but she is warning her. Karma is warning her about, if she don't help these girls, if she don't come through for these girls, that there's gonna be trouble.
Yeah, that's what you think they're gonna go. I don't think.
But
they're gonna
I do. Why would Carmen keep warning her every episode if there wasn't gonna be something on the horizon? And the other thing is that Erica already failed because she talked to the warden, and the warden wasn't buying any of it.
Oh well, you know what? That was a stroke of genius. We're talking about Friday's episode.
I love that casting, by the way.
Yes,
that
the
was
warden,
great casting.
Great casting. Couldn't have been Judy Bly Wilson. It must have been the other person.
Had to be, yeah.
The other person who does casting, because she has an assistant.
Yeah.
Because she normally doesn't get good people. I mean, that warden, I believed, and I loved the dialogue and the way it was written, because basically what it turns out is that Carmen was warning Erica about a lot of things. But what we didn't take into consideration was Erica's doing this is making the warden look bad.
That's true.
It's making the warden look like the warden doesn't give a damn, which obviously she doesn't, because if she did, she'd be doing all these rehabilitation programs and trying to help. And I thought the dialogue was really great, because Erica's really coming from a decent, good place, and she's trying to do something good for once.
Right.
And she doesn't realize that this woman doesn't care for that. And
Sam Woods warned her.
And like, I don't think Erica really understood where the warden was coming from, but we could. And she winds up putting our dear Erica Kane in solitary confinement.
Well, what happened is, let me take you back a little hair. Mm. What happened is that, well, first of all, there was a sort of a side thing where Carmen and Erica talk about Jackson Montgomery.
Yeah. A nod to Grey's Anatomy. I love
that. Absolutely. Jackson Montgomery. And Carmen says, you should have been locked up for stupidity for leaving Jackson. Which I love. So basically what happens is they talk about it. And Erica, I couldn't tell if like Erica got all excited about seeing Jackson again, or if she was just more, or like if she wanted to use her ideas to impress him or to show him that she had changed.
I think this is coming from her heart. For once, I think that this isn't her trying to use this in her favor to get Jackson back.
Yeah, but when she asked for Jackson, she asked for Jackson Montgomery.
Well, no,
she mispronounced it. She said Montgomery, people. I rewound out my DVR. She said Montgomery.
But that was right after Carmen gave her the whole speech about you and Jackson.
She had a little dual thing going
on.
No,
I don't.
There.
I think her heart's in the right place this time.
I do too, but I'm not. I'm just saying it's a fringe benefit. You know what I'm saying?
I really don't think that I don't think that her character is really concerned with trying to get Jack back 100%.
He loves Miss Erica Kane.
I really do.
I
think she's really, for once, the character's really doing something from the heart.
I agree, but she's also kind of like people. You got to admit, acting timeout. She's acting a little bit like a 10-year-old. She's like a 10-year-old who's selling lemonade outside to raise money for the people of, Sudan. And I'm not criticizing it at all. I'm just saying she's a 62-year-old woman. She's like, okay, what we'll do is, here's what we're going to do, Jackson. We're going to get job training for people, and we're going to get college classes, and we're going to have parental training and guidance, and maybe a little bit of financial advice.
I love when you do this.
And we'll just do it because it's the right thing to do.
I love her Erica Kane.
You know what I'm saying? But it's like poof, it'll happen.
Because
it's naive. That's all I'm saying. It's a little naive.
But that's Erica Kane. That's what we've been learning about this woman for the last few years.
And everybody's delighted because they look at her like she's a little perfect little doll. Oh, isn't she cute?
It's not a naive.
Get cute.
It's not a naive quality. Erica's always been the kind of person that if she wants something, she goes for it and she goes after it. And the only way that you're going to make it happen is to believe that it is going to happen.
He's so right again, people. Positive. He's right again.
And it's a way of the two of them getting back together and really appreciating each other and growing. Because for once, I know you people are not going to believe this, but for once, I actually like Jackson and Erica.
You like Jerkson?
This week. I like the fact that he noticed the change in her. And I was just like, my heart skipped the beat. I was like, oh. I was like, wow.
Well, then, Eric, then I love, I just got to.
Did you like when Carmen was flirting with Sam Woods?
I loved it. Carmen loves Sam Woods.
Carmen was like, I want some chocomocolata.
Can I tell you that would be a brilliant way for that to go? Don't you think?
My God,
because he's not going to work with Erica. I'm sorry. I don't see it. I don't see chemistry. I don't see anything there.
But it was all Elizabeth Rodriguez. I mean, she was fabulous.
Like, she had like puppy dog eyes.
She was like,
work.
She saw him. She's like,
wow. She was awesome.
She kills me.
She's awesome. So there was a little blip after that where Kendall comes and meets Erica and basically tells Erica that she did it. And before she sees the warden, though, people, something else happens.
What?
You were looking at me like a deer in the headlights.
What?
How could you forget?
What? Oh.
This is America. Freedom for Erica. This is America. Freedom for Erica.
Kind of reminds me of, if you want a fair deal partner, then you vote for Opal Gardner. I love when those do stuff like this. It's campy and funny. I love this.
I love it. So, all right. So all these young people come and they come with signs and posters and pictures of Erica. Like they have a picture of Erica. Like who's that? You always see that T-shirt of like Che Guevara.
Yeah.
And it's just like his head, like in silhouette kind of thing. They had one of those of Erica.
Well, that's timely because, when Martha was in jail, Winona was like up for like going, they had those shirts like that. So yes. I thought it was really campy and ingenious.
It was
fun. And funny.
So then all these people come and they protest and all of a sudden, someone rips out some boom boxes and sound equipment because B5 comes out and they sing the Erica Kane song.
Go ahead. Give us a little bit of it.
Erica, Erica, Erica. I can't escape it, but take it. That's how it goes. But listen to this. So I'm talking to Jordan, right? Before we start the show, we always chit chat a little bit, like little bochinche, stuff like that. And I'm talking to him and I'm like, oh my God, that song was so funny. I can't believe that they wrote a song just for Erica Kane. I can't believe it. Erica must have been, Susan Lucci must have been so flattered, blah, blah, blah. So tell them what you told me.
Well, from
what You heard it here, people.
From what I've been told, Erica Kane is like the street name for like cocaine crack. So the song isn't necessarily about her per se.
Is it crack cocaine? It's supposed to be
cocaine crack. Like, that's what I was told. Because they're not the first group. Aaliyah did a song about Erica Kane too. And it's all about addiction. And even their song, even though it does sound like they're singing about a woman, if you listen to some of the lyrics, like, you know, it can go either way.
And which most basically, songs are the like song a lyrics uncharted. Say, this is crazy. I got me a Erica Kane. Now, I think he is talking about a woman, but he's calling the woman an addiction. You know what I mean? Like, he's calling the woman his Erica Kane.
Have you ever met a girl that gave you the drop jaw?
I'm on cold. My jaw is like,
you walk into a brick wall.
Well, look, I want to tell you what I was told.
That's all from crack cocaine. That happens in crack cocaine.
Yeah, crack cocaine. That's what I'm saying.
Erica Kane. And actually, I think they spell it with a C-A-N-E.
Yeah, they spell it with a C-A-N-E. Like cocaine. And I've also, and I think Aaliyah spells her Erica Kane, E-R-I-K-A, Erica.
Yeah. So, yeah.
But they're both nice songs. They're both great catchy. Songs.
But do you think, hear me out here.
Do you think the ABC Wall did?
I just pictured Susan Lucci or, you know, just saying, oh, that's so incredible. Song about me. That's so wonderful. The young people are so wonderful. It just goes to show you how wonderful, you know, a character Erica Kane is. She's really, really influenced the pop culture. Yeah, you can believe. Yeah, you better believe she's influenced pop culture. That song is about cocaine. Come on, people.
I don't know. Give us your opinion,
no,
people.
That's the truth. There's two songs about Erica Kane. It's terrible. Or smoking it. They smoke it. Crack cocaine. It's bad. I love it. I think it serves those damn Disney ABC folks right. See, this is why we could never be a show on ABC.
Why?
We crack so much on them.
Well, that's why we need to be on the E Network.
Yeah, that's
right
true.
Between Chelsea Handler and The Soup.
That would be fun.
I love me some Joe McHale.
I still don't watch that show.
You don't watch The Soup?
I don't watch The Soup.
You are missing out. You need to see Mr. Joe McHale because he snaps on everything.
That's what we should do.
The only soap that he snaps on because it's the worst soap on the air, which is not going to be on much longer, is his Passion. He breaks on Passions every week.
Isn't that the only NBC show?
No, Passions is not on NBC anymore.
CBS.
Passions is on DirecTV.
Oh, my God.
NBC canceled it last year, and now DirecTV canceled it after a few months.
Oh, my God.
It's a horrible show. It needs to go off the air.
Oh, that's terrible.
I blame Passions for dumbing down soaps.
Oof. Yeah, I saw a couple episodes. I couldn't even tolerate it.
But
I got that little bile in my throat.
And I'm going through some Chelsea Handler withdrawal because she was away this week, so there was no new Chelsea Handler episodes.
Well, anyway, Erica. So then, after all this like thing, and all it's funny because all the inmates on the inside were dancing and singing the song. You couldn't really see them because they were like behind bars, but it was pretty. I enjoyed it. Like they were all dancing and laughing and stuff. So then the warden really didn't like put all this together. You put Erica's requests. And the protests and the song, you put all that together, the warden did not like it one bit.
I love that warden.
Erica in solitary and she did not complain.
Well, no, but you know what I love the fact is that Carmen kept warning her. She said, before you go meet the warden, you better call Jackson. See, now she's in solitary confinement because there's nobody to call Jackson.
Well, now she's going to have to call.
Carmen's going to have to do something. Karma's going to have to realize what the warden did because what the warden did was just trying to shut Erica up. This storyline's getting good.
I like it. Some people don't like it. I'm still enjoying it.
I'm enjoying it.
And I'm enjoying that ABC has no idea that they just promoted a song about crack cocaine. I think it is amazing.
Well, you know what? Let's talk about the scandal behind the show right now.
What's the scandal behind the show?
Kobe.
I thought
we were going to start off with this. I'm going to just say it right now. I am not amused. Not amused.
I talked about it a little bit last
week.
No, well,
we've been all talking about it in the podcast, like in the comment section and stuff. But yeah, as we know, there's a new Kobe coming.
A new Kobe.
Like new babe.
Right. N-U babe, N-U Kobe. Kobe.
I am not amused.
Well, you got some inside scoop, young
well,
man.
Well, yes. Like I said, I have a sauce. Everybody knows that there's a new actress coming. They know who's playing it. But the controversy is because Amber, is her name Amber?
Amber Childers is the
real Amber actress. Put on her blog that, you know, something came up in her career or something, and that's why she's moving on and blah, 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 blah. Now, I read it. I don't buy it. I feel like ABC gave her an extra $1,000 and she took the rap for like them dismissing her. Soap Opera Weekly obviously agrees with me because when they posted it this week in their new issue, it said that it was storyline dictation, that's the reason she's being let go and there's a new Kobe coming in. And it seems like you guys who were complaining that like Kobe and Frankie look too, you know, different in age, obviously they thought so too. That's why they got a Kobe that looks a little bit older. I'm pissed and upset because you know what? I like Amber and I like Kobe and I like her with Frankie. And there's no guarantee that the new Kobe is going to have any chemistry with Frankie, let alone be a good actress. Mm-hmm. After all, we're talking about Judy Bly Wilson here. But let me tell you something. My source told me, because she's already started taping, and my source told me that she's... how to phrase this properly?
Yeah, how do you phrase this properly?
A little dead behind the eyes. it's a little bit bland, the new girl. But, you know, again, this is a girl just started. She's being thrown into everything immediately. Maybe in time. Maybe it was just, you know, that, you know, first couple of weeks she needs to get gelled up. But my source was just like,
Well, the new actress is... Well, the old actress we know is Amber Childers. And the new actress is Brienne Moncrief or Moncrief. And we can't be that petty. Can we be this petty?
We're looking at her photo right now.
We're looking at her photo. And see, the funny thing is that the source mentioned something to us about... a particular aspect.
No, that's cruel.
Of
we're not gonna say it. That's cruel. I don't like being cruel.
We don't like being cruel.
But look at the difference. Like in her photo here, she looks
like a baby.
No, she looks ancient compared to our Kobe.
She looks pretty young.
Oh no, I think
we're looking at a photo of Brienne Moncrief.
I think she looks old. I miss Amber. Look at Amber's photo.
I'm telling you right now, Miss Brienne Moncrief, as I mentioned in the show, has like 2 credits. One of them is like a High School Musical. I kid you not, people.
See, this is due to you told me you read her blog and you believed it, but I did believe it at first and I changed my mind. And I told you,
I told everybody. I said I think it's true. She's going on. She's
doing
moving
something
on.
Else. Why not mention what you're doing? Wouldn't
because
you want
you
the fans?
Can't, because
to,
nobody
you know,
ever does.
Oh, yes, they do.
No, they don't.
They do all the time. They're like, I got
Josh Duhamel didn't go to anything. You
but
know?
Josh Duhamel didn't have anything. She supposedly is leaving All My Children because she supposedly got
something.
But see,
something. I believe that she... Actually, she has 1 credit, people, on The Sopranos. Lover number 2. We talked about it with Pedro.
She could be a theater actress. Again, my source told me
I don't mean to be mean, but it's like 1 credit? Come on now.
My source told me
to
that what
Kobe,
he saw...
Amber Childers has a whole list of credits, and she's such a wonderful little actress.
Well, but see, this is what I was telling you before. We talked about this during this week. Like, there are a million actors and actresses that you could, like, recast with. And I'm all for giving new people a chance because you never know when you're going to find the next Josh Duhamel, you know? Mm-hmm. But... you need to put some thought into it. You could have gotten Crystal Hunt from Guiding Light. You could have gotten Stephanie Gavis. You could have gotten somebody that already has acting chops and has worked on a soap to come in and play Kobe. Because right now, this girl's coming in. There are a lot of Amber fans.
You're missing a key ingredient.
What?
This girl will work for nothing.
And
she
that's what you
work
told
for
me.
Cornflakes.
And that was your point. Because we all know that the soaps are doing
flakes.
That. It's not just
she
All
will
My
pay
Children.
Them to be on the show.
It's not just All My Children. All the soaps are
they're
hurting right
bad.
Now.
They're doing bad.
I mean, I hate to say
they're
it because you know
out.
I love my soaps, but they're on their way out. I say another 5 years, they'll all be off the air.
Yeah, I agree.
And it pains me to no end. Because
does that mean we'll
I
be
love
off the
my,
air?
I guess. No, we'll become the Grey's Anatomy Desperate Housewives podcast.
Yeah.
Well, I love my nighttime shows, but even my nighttime shows are suffering. Did you hear about the ratings for the night?
That's because of the writer's strike.
Yeah, because the writer's strike. The shows finally
lost
started
momentum.
Back. They lost momentum. Desperate Housewives, hurting.
Yeah.
Just came out that Grey's Anatomy and Lost, Hurting Big Time, Dirty wow. Rock, Hurting Bad. All my favorite nighttime shows, Suffering.
Yeah, because I haven't come back. I'm on American Idol.
You're still on American Idol?
I'm on American Idol. I'm off Dancing with the Stars. I can't get into it this season.
I've never got into Dancing with the Stars.
I love Dancing with the Stars. I don't. But I hate it this season.
I love me some Viva Hollywood. It's so boring. Horrible. What, Viva Hollywood?
Oh, no. Dancing with the Stars is boring.
Viva Hollywood's so bad, I just can't stop watching it. I mean, it's atrocious.
I'm so mad. I was telling Jordan that my DVR taped over it. I was so upset. I can't wait to see it.
I mean, people, you don't understand. This thing is so bad that I just can't. It's like roadkill. You just cannot watch it. I'm like, I'm stuck on the new, and I haven't been into Real World in a while, and I got into the new Real World by accident.
Oh, really?
It's crazy.
Who you want to talk about?
Let's do this, because that's quick.
Okay. We're going to talk about Adam. It was really basic. He asked JR this week for help with Chandler. He asked a long, shaggy hair JR for help with Chandler. Colby comes in for about a minute. She had a scene with Frankie, but I didn't really take much notes on it because I love that scene with her and Frankie. I am not into it. I don't feel them.
But wait, we didn't finish with Adam.
I know, but I just want to say real quick that they just had this like awkward scene where she asked Frankie how she could help her dad. She asked him what it was like when his dad died and all that stuff. And, you know, Frankie is still reminding Colby that she's still in college. And Frankie is reminding her that he's out of college. So he's still emphasizing the age difference. So I don't understand, because Colby's going to PBU, how are they going to make this new Colby work? Are they going to just age her so that she's out of college and done with college?
No. But y'all are making it seem like there's like 50 years difference. I mean, All My Children is known for the younger woman, older man.
If he's an established doctor, he's got to be Palmer, at least 26, 27 years old.
Palmer and Donna, Erica Kane and Nick. All My Children is a history of older men, younger women. So to me, this is part of the history. I think they do. I'm not the only one. I know. There's a lot of people that think they have chemistry.
I don't feel it. I don't see it. That kiss between them was awkward.
I loved it.
So anyways, I don't know. All right, back to Adam. JR tells Adam that he's always needed to be the alpha wolf.
Uh-huh.
Ooh! And I was laughing because obviously, you know, JR has been looking pretty wolfish these days.
What would his Fabio hair do? Fabio hair don't.
And then, like, the next day, he was only on, like, 2 days this week, I think Adam was, or something like that. And then the next time, I think it was either Thursday or Friday. I think it was Friday. Adam comes on alone, and he's, like, slowly but surely losing it. And so, people, as you all know, they are getting us ready for Miss Dixie.
Yes, because that was another thing that my source told me, but it broke on Friday. She's not coming back as an angel. She's coming back as a ghost.
That's right.
I'm sorry, that's spoiler alert?
It's not a spoiler alert? Because it's out.
Oh, wait, well, she's coming back as a ghost. She's going to haunt Adam to tell him the truth about Kate to Tad.
So we've had a lot of foreshadowing this week about that. On Friday's episode, you had like the wind whistling a little too oddly. You had that awesome scene where Adam was going to take a drink and the glass moves. And then all of a sudden it flies against the fireplace.
I know, but it looked like he was moving it with his hand at first.
No, it was so funny. I loved it so much. And then he's like, and then he looks at all and no buttons on my shirt. No buttons. Where's my buttons, JR? So we had that scene, and then JR comes in that day with a brand spanking new haircut.
And that's what my source told me, too. He was like, wait till you see Jacob Young's haircut. It's going to make you realize how good looking he used to be.
He is good looking, but here's my quibble.
What? I knew you were going to have a
problem. It's too short.
Oh, my God. You are just impossible to please.
It's a hair too short.
I don't think it's too short. I think it's just what he needs.
I can't wait till it grows in just a hair. Get it?
I disagree with you. I think his hair looked great. If anything, it was just a little too...
He has a funny shaped head.
No, it was just... It was a little too done up at the top for me.
Beautiful
face. Like it was just a little too, like, you know, glam rock kind of, like, you know.
Yeah, like too perfect.
Too, you know, but I'm sorry, but Mr. Young, you look much better like this.
He looks better, trust me.
Because I remember him when he first started on Bold and the Beautiful. He was a hottie back then.
Well, anyway, he looked good, and he needed that haircut. His daddy, because Chandler Enterprises is going to pot. And so he's helping out, and he wanted, you know, thanks from Adam, and of course Adam doesn't really give it to him, and he's all upset and disappointed.
So wait, but no, we didn't talk about this. What do you think about Dixie coming back as a ghost and not an angel?
I'm very happy about it.
See, I like it because I think it's an ingenious...
It means that she might not be dead.
It might mean, yeah.
She might be a figment.
It might be a figment of his imagination.
But there's going to be problems with that storyline.
Because we heard that she also is visiting Jake. She's responsible for bringing, for I don't know, supposedly she has a connection with Jake.
See, when they make her... Okay, listen, this is the problem with this whole storyline. If it was just Adam that was affected, I would be so happy.
Yeah, because then it just means that it's Adam crazy. But
already, Tad was visiting Dixie at her grave, and the wind whistled a little too loudly.
Wasn't that a musical? And the wind, the whistle blows or something like that? Okay,
go and on. Then when Jake Martin comes back... Ricky Paul Golden as Jake Martin, who I can't wait.
And I gotta tell you, my source...
That's gonna happen to
me. My source told me some good things about that.
I heard that.
I heard that too. And I gotta tell you, I said in the podcast, I'm not necessarily a big Ricky Paul Golden fan, but it was not that I don't like him as an actor. I actually think he's a good actor. It's just the characters he played I didn't like. I found both characters to be obnoxious. I didn't like him as Dean Frame because I thought Dean was obnoxious. And I hated Gus Attura. I thought he was the most obnoxious character on Daytime. But, like, he's playing Jake Martin. And from what I heard... I heard it's going to be really good. I mean, it's finally... Jake's going to finally have some cojones, which he hasn't had since Michael Lowry played the role. Honestly, we were talking about that. I think they're going to mess up if they don't put him with Rebecca Budwig. I think that him and Rebecca...
Rebecca Budwig?
I can't get her last name right. What is it?
Budwig,
whatever. Rebecca. I think they would have so much chemistry, and I think she needs somebody like him. He's the kind of actor she needs.
I think that sounds good to me. Should. I could see it.
And their characters have history.
I could see it.
You know?
But I'm just, like I said, people, I'm a little weirded out because if she's starting to haunt all these people, then she's becoming too established as a non-living person, and that's what bothers me.
I agree with you.
I wish and pray that they would just be smart enough and not so stupid.
Just bring her back. Smart enough to bring her back. I already told them how to do it, damn it. David was responsible.
Our friends at TadandDixie.com, who have been incredible in the effort to help bring back Dixie, have been publicizing all the phone numbers and email addresses and stuff like that. They wrote on our blog and mentioned that Julie Hannon Crapothers, we call her Crapothers, made a lousy comment about how they had to undo the damage they did with the poison pancakes.
Well, they want to undo the damage and just bring her back.
But they said it in a joke. It's like, you know what? That's not funny. That's not funny. It's so stupid. The whole thing that she should be so humble. She should be eating humble pie.
No, she should be eating some poison pancakes.
Thank you.
Julie Horrible Corroded. Julie Horrid Corroded.
That's right.
Julie Horrible Corroded.
Horrible Crap Others. Anyway, and then Tad had a moment where he confessed to Crystal that he was weirded out about going to the cemetery even. And he talks about how he failed Dixie and, you know, that he might be a screw up. And I have to tell you something.
Go ahead.
Might be a screw up. Murder one don't count as a screw up.
Okay, but look, we've already, and you've all been talking about this in the comment section on the blog too.
It's weird.
They haven't acknowledged it, and I don't think they're going to, because if they have to acknowledge it, then we lose Tad somehow.
Yes.
If he pays for the crime.
I love Tad Martin, and I don't want him to be. I hate what they did to him. So I guess, you know what, in the sense that if it helps us forget it and move on, like, just like I would be willing, if they brought back Dixie, was it Dynasty the show?
Yes.
Where all of a sudden...
No, that was Dallas we're thinking about.
Where all of a sudden, Dixie's in the shower, taking a shower. Tad's sleeping. He wakes up. He hears someone in the shower, and it's Dixie, and she steps out, and she says, "Hey, baby, I will be happy with that. I don't need no explanation. 5 years didn't happen. Thank you.
And Edmund's alive.
I would need no explanation. And Maria's
still in town. I'll go for that.
So in that sense, okay, yes, let's forget about the murder, because it was so stupid that it happened in the first place.
Can I tell you something?
And it's part of Katie's downfall. Because she was vocal about that. She told TPTB that they were stupid to make Tad a murderer.
Well, you know what? I'm glad that the soap stars are fighting back.
Me too.
I'm glad that the soap stars care enough about what we, the fans, are watching and their own characters to speak up. Yes,
absolutely. What were you going to say? I cut you off.
Oh, I found it very bizarre that Dixie's buried next to Jesse.
I did too.
Because I don't know, every cemetery I go to, you get buried by the year that you die. Well, so everybody's connected, like, by years.
They're always in a different place too. I mean, the graves, like, aren't they?
But Dixie was, like, right next to, like, Jesse.
Yeah, they're always in a... But they're also, too, they're always in a different place. They're never in the same place. Like, Mona's never in the same place. You know what I'm saying? They travel.
Like, I'm looking and I look over and I'm like, what's Tad looking at? And then the camera pans over and I'm like, Dixie's right next to Jesse all these years?
Yeah.
That was bizarre.
Kind of like, and Tad's like, Tad tells Dixie that he wishes that she had known Jesse because she never knew Jesse.
Yeah.
I want to talk about Kendall and Zach and Greeny and Aiden.
Okay,
believe
that's
it or
all
not.
On you. Go ahead. Start talking.
I'm going to say two things. I hate Zach and Kendall's bedroom. I hate it. It's so ugly. Greeley's bedroom, I love. I want to have her apartment. I don't like the apartment as much as I love her bedroom. She has this beautiful lamp next to the bed, and she always has fresh flowers and real cozy blankets and comforters and stuff.
You're just like so Martha cozy. Stewart today, aren't you?
No, but it's just cozy. You know what I'm saying? Puerto Ricans don't have that. We have like just real
plastic over the furniture.
Like we don't think nothing for like comfort and lots of. We don't have like lots of pillows. You have like two pillows and you have a bedspread. The bedspread, you know, bedspread. It folds over the pillows.
I have a sabana and that's it. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know bedspread.
What's a sabana?
A blanket.
But just a blanket on the bed. You have it covering the pillows.
I have the thing that you shove under the mattress, and then I have the pillowcase, and then I have my sabana.
So you don't make like a proper bed, like a bedspread? Because we have a bedspread.
No, I just throw the blankets all there.
Oh.
I'm very ghetto.
You're even more ghetto than we are.
Yeah, you need to cut my mouth. I'm very
anyway,
like,
she got a cozy, sexy bedroom. Unfortunately, part of that bedroom set is Adam.
Oh, Lord.
Which ain't good, people.
Please put her with Jake.
Well, it's so funny because they're sitting at Confusion, wherever the hell they are. Is it Confusion? I never know anymore. Why would you name a bar Confusion?
Because it's a play on words because they're
I know that they're fusion, but Confusion is like, stupid. It's like and, you go there, you get
and
so
why
wasted.
Why are they all alcoholics? Every freaking week they're in Confusion drinking.
I'm telling you, it's a ridiculous.
I mean, they are drunkards, these people. They're like that every week.
They're very, very troubled people.
Oh, my Lord.
Well, Kendall is so obviously teary when Greenlee is gushing over her, like, you know, engagement and mm-hmm. all this stuff. And I am giving Rebecca the performer of the week. I'm giving her the performer of the century because she is so tremendously believable as being excited about this dumbass wedding she gonna have to a dumb.
I was wondering where you were going with that.
Amazing. Amazing. Mm. She's like the Meryl Streep of soap operas right with this storyline. I can't even tell you. It makes no sense to me. And then, like, Kendall is so like, that's great. You're getting married. Oh, that's great. That's awesome. No, I'm not upset. I'm fine. No, nothing's wrong.
I really don't like where they're going with Kendall.
It's ridiculous. She's so freakish. She's so freakishly bad at lying. It's pathetic. And after all of this hoopla, Greenlee's like, I think there's something wrong with Kendall. No, I know Kendall. And there's something wrong. It's like so silly. So, I mean, Kendall promised Aiden that she wasn't going to tell, but I think she did tell him the Zach knew, right?
Yeah.
She told Aiden the Zach knew. So, poor Jordan, he could be less interested in the story. And I actually liked it. Aiden was all over her, all over Greenlee. And I was eating lunch at the time, you know, because it's like mm-hmm. 1 o'clock, mm-hmm. you know, in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like a little, I had to stop eating my sandwich. I thought I looked inside the sandwich. I said, I smelled the meat, the turkey. And I was like, it's not the turkey. The turkey smells fine. It must be Aiden. It must be Aiden all over Greenlee that's making me feel a little nauseous, you know? So anyway, so thank God Kendall and Zach leave early. And at one point, did you see Zach give Aiden a look?
Yeah, I saw
it. It was awesome. It was so funny. I loved it. And Kendall and Zach go home and Zach does not say a word. And they don't, it's a very quiet scene, and he just touches her face, and they start to make love. Now, people, I love how this part of it is unfolding.
No, you're right. This is good stuff.
It's very slow, it's very tortured, it's very quiet.
It's a very good choice. It's an interesting choice that they're going with this.
Yes, very interesting.
Very non-soap opera-ish. It's very good.
And it's funny because what Kendall's struggling with is that Zach is just trying to move on as if nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
He's forgiven her and that's it, and he wants to move forward, and she's free because she knows that there's something between them. Now meanwhile, Greenlee is
well, that's on her then. She's stupid then.
I agree with that to an extent.
If he's telling you that he's okay with it and he's ready to move on, then just let it go, bitch.
But here
I'm sorry. That's the ghetto in me. I'm sorry.
That's the ghetto in
me. You're gonna believe that, right?
I might not.
Because you know what I mean, though.
Yes, I do. But listen, but I agree with that to an extent. But this is where I think that the storyline is very strong. The subtlety of the storyline is very strong because as a woman, I identify with Kendall. Like, if your man is he's still holding on to it. You know what I mean? Like, he might say that he's ready to move on, but if he's still holding on to it, it's going to affect them. So in that sense, I did agree with Kendall that it needed to be out there. They needed to really, like, deal with this thing. Dissect it, deal it, cut it up,
and
get rid of it.
How did they do that?
Well, let me tell you. Well, first, Greenlee, Clueless Greenlee and Adam make love in an elevator. I know, he almost got sick. I'm sorry.
I don't want to think about that anymore.
I'm sorry. I thought he was gonna slap me. I'm sorry, honey.
Don't keep mentioning it. I'm sorry.
Hold on.
My eyes.
Hold on one second. I just gotta give him some tissue. Here you go.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Well, listen. I had to turn away myself. All right. Let's not talk about that anymore. Well, first of all, you gotta admit though.
What?
The next morning, Greenlee woke up with so much makeup on, I was distracted. Cause I love Rebecca Budig is like
you're gonna say Budwig like I was.
Rebecca Budig is perfection as far as I'm concerned. Like, if I could look like anybody, I would not mind looking like her. Like, if you gave me a choice of three people and she was on it, I'd be thrilled because she is beautiful.
She's got a beautiful
little body, beautiful face. But she does have eyes that are a little hair buggy.
You know, you can never give anybody a comment about it without it being a backhanded one.
I don't mean to be backhanded.
Your hair is nice. Just a little short.
The viewers listen to us for our unexpurgated opinions and commentary. I got to tell it like it is.
But
I have a point here. All right, go ahead. What's your point? My point is that she's going to do morning makeup. Don't have, like, thick black eyeshadow on that emphasizes the bugginess of the eyeballs.
That's so horrible.
That's all I'm saying. That is all I'm saying. I don't mean to be mean, because I tell you, if I had eyes like hers, like, my eyes are little. I don't have big eyes. She has.
Oh, you do? I never noticed that. I have little eyes. But they're cute little
people
eyes.
People call me Chinita.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that funny? I'm not Asian, but that means little Chinese girl. In Spanish. Little Chinita.
Yeah.
Well, but
that was very
so
Mexican.
I don't mean to be like hold on, girl. I'm just saying, like, ease up on a morning makeup. That's all I'm saying. Like, Blandy had good morning makeup because she was less made up, except she had too much fake tan around. Blandy, Melissa Claire Egan, too much fake tanner. That's too much.
Maybe she went on vacation.
Using that Nivea Gold lotion. Lay off the Nivea Gold lotion.
Nivea Gold lotion.
You remember that scene where she put Nivea Gold lotion on Ryan?
Oh, God.
Anyway, she calls Zach, all right? Greenlee calls Zach because he just finished reassuring Kendall to believe in us and to forget about everything. But prior to that, people, I didn't tell you, Kendall is sleeping and she wakes up and she feels this, you know, this hand touching her. And she looks over lovingly and overrolls Aiden with his goofy face looking at her like leering at her. And then all of a sudden, over his shoulder, Greenlee pops up. And then over Greenlee's shoulder, Zach pops up. And I wish I was a fly on the wall when they shot that. It was so... And then Kendall screams a blood-curdling scream because obviously it's a nightmare. And I wish that was on set.
But what did you scream to if you woke up and saw Aiden?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I would be more than screaming.
It was very Bob, Carol, Ted, and Alice from the 70s. I love this.
I just might pass out, you know? But we are so mean to Adam. Oh, my God. We're going to get so much mail about that.
I know, everybody. Look, I'm not going to apologize. I'm sure he's a sweet guy.
I'm
he's
sure
a very
he's the
good-looking guy.
Ever.
But
it's
he's not
personal,
an actor.
It is personal. I was just going to say, it's not personal. It's nothing against the actor.
It's not personal. He's just not a good actor. That's nothing personal.
That's very personal.
That's not personal. He shouldn't be acting.
Ooh.
Look at it this way. If you went to a hospital, right, and your doctor wasn't a good doctor, he was just a mediocre doctor, would you be upset?
It's like Kids in the Hall. I'm a really bad doctor.
Yeah, exactly.
Remember
you go.
Kids in the Hall?
Yeah,
I love that.
I'm sorry. I want to see some good... I'd rather see somebody who's ugly that can act than see somebody who's pretty that's like wallpaper. There.
All right. Well, listen, Greenlee comes in. They go to the comeback. Thank God they go to the comeback. At least that has food there. And again, brilliant acting job by Rebecca. I believe that she ate everything on her plate. I believe that she drank her regular Coca-Cola and ate her hamburger. I believed it. It was perfection.
You are crazy.
She looked so beautiful. She was wearing like this gold tone trench and these jeans, and her hair was beautiful, her makeup was beautiful, and then she pulls off her coat, and she's got this top where she's got like a little potato coming out of the top. I was like, "Ooh, you got a little spud on your shoulder there. I wanted to knock it off." Anyway, oh, Greenlee wanted to know, because Greenlee is on to something. I think Kendall's hiding something. I think she's hiding something. She asks Zach, and Zach blows it off. And he hugs Greenlee. Now, let me ask you a question here, because we're running out of time fast. Didn't you think that hug with Greenlee was a hair tad intimate?
Wait, whose hug with Greenlee?
When Zach hugged Greenlee before he left the comeback, he touched her face and looked at her. I just touched his face. A hair too long, in my opinion. You didn't see that?
Yeah, things to come.
I'm telling you, there's a little
things to make you go.
So then he goes home. Kendall calls him, and she tells him to come home, and then she tells him that they're going away, and she starts packing their bags. And Zach says, no, they're staying home. And then the kids come, and they play with the kids. Rachel comes, and little Ian comes. Ian is a big baby now. I like it. It's nice.
By next month, he'll be going to college.
It's true.
This is soap.
Think about it. Colby was born in 1999, and she's now 25 years old.
Yeah, there you go.
Amazing. Anyway, so then this is when they have the discussion that I love. Like, Zach tries to go to sleep because he is not here, and Kendall's like, I want to talk. Let's talk. There's something wrong. Let's talk. And Zach's not hearing it, and so she takes like a clearly empty bottle, cup of water. It had just like a few ice cubes in it, and she like throws it on Zach, and like maybe one ice cube hits him, and then he decides to talk to her, and she drills him about how he feels. Like, she insists, how do you feel, Zach? What are you feeling? And he said something that made my blood chill. Do you remember what he said?
Go ahead, give it to us.
When I think about Aiden's grubby hands all over your perfect skin, it feels like a knife in my throat. And I love that he said that, and that his anger and his hurt was so palpable. It was amazing. And Kendall kept saying, we can't forget it. And then he's like, there's no room for it. You know what I mean? Like, he tells her that there's no room for those memories. Like, what memories should he get rid of? Should he get rid of their wedding? Should he get rid of the birth of their child? Should they get rid of all the things they went through together? And he's right. And I am dying for this man. He's amazing.
He should get rid of the memory of the Satin Slayer.
That's true.
That's my memory I want to get rid of.
Well, the fun, this story ends very fun. Kendall decides to go and get rid of the memories in the shack where she and Aiden shacked up.
Got a match?
Where did she get that gasoline? She had that gasoline.
It's a cabin. I'm sure there was gasoline
there.
All right.
Well, she had all this gasoline. She poured it down, and then she was about to light it, and Zach goes, no, wait. And they both together light matches, and they light it. And this fire goes up so perfectly. It's like, phew. And like all in slow motion. And I really loved it. I have to say, I thought it was pretty cool.
I should try that.
Yeah, right.
I should go to my ex's place and light up the bar.
I know, right? But what was the weird thing where Zach grabbed that thing? What did he grab that he burned his hand on purpose?
Oh, I forgot.
He grabbed like something metal that had just burned. And he grabbed and he burnt and scorched his entire... It was like he branded himself or something. Like, maybe he wanted to create a new hand to touch Kendall with or something. You know what I mean? Like...
He wanted to make it rough so he could scrape her beautiful porcelain skin. Oh, my God,
right. But then they kept flashing back to her and Adam making love. And I got to tell you, I remember we talked about it on the podcast, but Alicia was acting alone in that scene. I'm telling you, that's how weak he is. Well,
usually when you're working with him, you are acting alone.
That's what I mean.
Obviously, Judy Bly Wilson is wrong. You can't teach acting. Because after how many years has he been on the show? 7? He still don't know what he's doing.
Oh, yeah. I feel terrible. I feel so bad. I'm sorry, Aiden Turner. I feel bad.
I don't apologize.
I have a little bit of a heart. You know what I'm saying? I'm sensitive.
You can be sensitive all you want. I have friends that are actors. I mean, they work hard for what they do. I appreciate a good actor. I'd rather see Tony Geary or Judith Light than see some pretty model person.
Can I just tell you about the Greenlee Adam thing?
Yeah.
I liked when Adam asked Jack for Greenlee's hand in marriage. I actually really got a kick out of it. He had index cards.
That's because he couldn't remember his lines.
He said, I know. I was thinking that. I was like, he's so lucky. This is the first day he don't have to memorize lines. But I have a question for you.
Jackson only found out that was his daughter a couple of years ago.
Thank you. That's so stupid.
He should go to the cemetery and talk to her other father, the one that's dead.
That's what I'm saying.
What was the other father's name?
Oh my God, I'm forgetting his name. What was her mom's name?
Mary Smythe. Mr. Smythe.
Frank? No.
No, Roger Smythe.
Roger Smythe.
Played beautifully by what's his name, who was on Another World.
He was fun. Although the only thing I hated was when Simone and him got together. That was
no, ridiculous. I love that because when Mary, did you?
Is so beautiful. That guy was gross.
Oh, because she wanted an older man. But did you see when Simone was at the bar and Mary came and Mary grabbed Simone's hair and pulled her up and was just like, "You stay away from my." Oh, that was some good soap opera. That's why I love me some Mary Smythe.
That was good.
Bring Mary Smythe back.
All right. Well, I guess we can real quick talk about Blandy and Ryan. I know we got to talk about Jesse and Angie.
Well, make this real quick with Blandy and Ryan.
All right, fine. Basically, Blandy in her morning makeup and too much self-tanner basically asked Ryan to come home. It's true.
You crack me up. Go ahead.
She got too much on. He says yes, and she's acting all nice and patient and sweet, but she's becoming a little dual personality, which is what she should have been in the beginning. She should have been Richie.
I keep saying that.
And it
I
wasn't. Keep saying but that. Now she's being all psycho, and she basically looks at a wedding album, and she says, "I will get my husband back. I will get him back." Like, all crazy.
Ooh, you said it just as bland as she does,
I know,
too.
Right? She's very bland. And then, but she don't know that Greenlee bumps into Ryan at the comeback, mm-hmm. and they have a grand time
playing video games. That's right, like little kids.
But the funny thing is that actually that was afterwards. Well, they had a great time. They're playing video games, and then he goes to see Dr. Gale. I love me some Dr. Gale. Terry in Toronto said that Dr. Gale is in the Oprah magazine.
I believe it. Everything's Oprah.
I love her, though. Don't you like her?
Yeah, I think she's really
good. I think
she's
good. I think she's realistic. I love how I love how everything that he says to her, she says, "Well, how do you feel? But how does that make you feel?"
Because men don't know how to express themselves.
Well, not only that, but that's her job as a shrink, is to get him to think about because people often know the answers. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, we just need to think about them, and that's it. He don't need her to tell him. He needs him to tell him. Mm-hmm. And that's what I love about her. She pointed out that he was very comfortable with his ex-wife. She is very astute. This is only a very astute woman. Very astute. I love her. He walked out on her again. I can't believe he went back to her because he walked out on her the first time. Remember Ooh. That?
Oh, yes.
Ryan.
Yes, yeah.
So, and then meanwhile, Blandy has been talking to Minnie Hands Julia. She looks skinny and beautiful. I know why you're doing that, because you've heard rumors. People talk about rumors surrounding me every day.
Yeah, but this rumor seems like it's going to be true. And
I'm trying to get away from all these rumors. Just can't take it no more. All
right, I'm going to say this really quick, a tirade, little monologue. I am not amused. I am not amused with the fact that there's rumors going around that instead of Opal, it's going to be Julia that bites the dust to make it easier for Tad to get little Kate back.
That's right.
I think not only is that weak, I think it's weak, it's stupid, and it's an easy way out. I think if you really want to write a good soap opera, you keep Julia alive, let Tad find out that his daughter, and fight with Julia for it, and make it a heart-wrenching Lifetime Movie of the Week.
Thank you.
A good Lifetime in the Movie
Why
of the Week.
Why don't you write for the show?
Like My Sister's Keeper, not like those Nancy McKeon Gets Beaten Up movies. I'm sorry. There's two Lifetimes. There's good Lifetime and bad Lifetime.
I know, it's true.
Sometimes Lifetime knocks it out of the ballpark with Army Wives and stuff, and then other times it's like hideous stuff.
You know, notice Minnie Hands. And listen, people, for those of y'all that don't know, we call her Minnie Hands Julia because she's got little tiny hands. If you ever really look closely,
she's cute and little.
She had a belt that had a big H on it, and I thought maybe that was for Minnie Hands.
It's so silly.
Anyway, Julia, actually, Katie was over playing with Emma, and I guess Emma left her little lunchbox around and she tripped on it. Blandy tripped on it. And like, it was the cheesiest thing. She takes this huge fall and hits her head. Ryan comes in at that moment and she lies to him and she tells him she does a Tawana Brawley. And she says she was attacked by some man.
Because he got all like, oh my God, oh my God.
No, she was trying to manipulate him.
I know, but because she realized he was like caring about her for a minute. So she was like, I gotta milk this for all it's worth.
Listen, there's really
Tawana.
What are they going to do with this girl?
Who?
Blandy.
They should have her die in Sweeps Month and let her and Richie both go and keep Julia alive is what they should do.
I feel like I would like Melissa Claire Egan in real life, but I just do not like her character.
I think the character's horrible. I think they should, you know what? I told you, they should do what they did with Cecile in Another World. Make her a bitch. This show needs a bitch. We don't have bitches on TV
she's
no more.
Not, but she's too, like, she's, I don't think she has it in her to play
no,
a bitch.
No, I think she could.
She's not doing a good job as it is.
Because they're not writing her as a bitch yet.
They are.
No. I'm talking about, we need an Erica
she's
Kane.
She's been a bitch. She's
we
been
need a Dorian,
Ryan.
A Tina, a Cecile. They don't do soap bitches anymore.
I don't want to waste no more time. We're talking about Blanzy. That character needs to go. I'm sorry.
Well, let's talk about the storyline that we really differ on.
Ugh. I don't got much to say about Jesse and Angie because all we were gearing up for that damn opening of the casket.
It took so long to get that casket out of the ground. Oh, my God. They went there during the morning, and then in Thursday's episode, it was the afternoon because the sun was hitting them, and then Friday's episode, I guess it was nighttime. I mean, good Lord, where did they bury him? In Asia?
And just seriously.
That was like 3 days?
And interspersed in between, you see Robert Gardner twirling his invisible mustache.
I like me some Robert Gardner. We're never going to agree on Robert Gardner.
I'm
going to
get me an even bigger diamond.
The only thing we agree on is that if this is the only thing that's kept Jesse away for 20 years was a stupid diamond, then the storyline sucks.
Well, even stupider is what they found in the grave. Oh, my God. A fucking stuffed elephant. And then this is what happens, people. They find a stuffed elephant. Ron Gardner is looping around incognito behind the bushes. He's got a gun. He's doing like Kendall with the pregnancy test.
Yeah,
with the gun.
I could not
remember
believe
Kendall
that they
could not
see
that
him.
Pregnancy test in her bag.
I will admit to you, the Tad was looking right at him. How
that's
could you not
I'm
notice
saying.
Him?
And he's out with his gun and sneering and twirling his invisible mustache and holding his diamond up to the sky to show everybody this perfect, beautiful diamond. And
it reminds me
one.
Of Eclipso, this DC supervillain. I was just like, that's my new nickname for Robert Gardner, Eclipso, because Eclipso uses this black diamond to get his powers.
So then this casket opens and Franklin, as we're supposed to call him now, recalls that he basically put the stuffed animal that Jesse gave him in the grave.
But those were good moments, though, because when Jesse told him, like, you couldn't bear to have the last thing that I got for you, he goes, no, I didn't want you to be alone. I cried.
All right, fine. Well,
I cried. Those were some moments when Angie got up and she couldn't deal with it. And Jesse, those were some good moments, girl.
Well, the stuffed animal was destroyed. Let's put it that way. It was like the stuffing was out of it.
Yes, they stabbed it. They opened it up. They gutted it.
So then they go home, and they're all talking about it. Of course, who comes by but Robert Gardner? And nobody's suspicious that
no,
he happens to come by.
Tad was, and I loved that moment. That was a good moment when Tad, after he left, Tad goes, am I the only one who thinks that this guy just appears? They talked about it. It was good.
Well, he trips and stumbles, and as he trips and stumbles, he puts a little bug.
I know.
Under
it was
one
very alias.
But it was dumb because, I mean, they were all looking straight at him. They wouldn't see that he tucked something
no,
under the chair.
No, I thought so too, but when the camera pans away and he's getting up, the sofa chair was blocking him.
Alright, fine.
I agree with you. I thought so too, but I noticed that when the camera panned away, the table was like under the you couldn't see because the chair was in the way.
Well, anyway, long story short, Angie reveals that she did not have the heart to put the last thing that Jesse bought Frankie in the grave. So she actually bought another stuffed elephant and that she gave that one to Cassandra. But that one, Cassandra went to college, right?
No, she gave the original one. She kept the original one, gave the fake one to Frankie. Frankie put the fake one
in the grave, right?
And then when Cassandra became in their lives, she gave the original one to Cassandra.
Right.
And then
when Cassandra went to college.
Cassandra went to college, she gave away all of Cassandra's stuff to Goodwill, or her toy stuff. Obviously, Cassandra could not bear to part with this because she has it.
Right.
And we finally met Miss Cassandra, and I got to say, she wasn't that bad.
Well, listen, before
that,
though.
It was just one day.
I was cracking up before that because they were going to find the stuffed animal that Angie gave to Goodwill.
No, Jesse and Tad talked about it. Angie was like, y'all are crazy.
What was it she told them? Knock on every door in New York City.
And then they realized how stupid they were. And then Robert Gardner cursed her at the cemetery.
Yeah,
you
he was
stupid
pissed.
Angie Hubbard. You still, I was loving it. Now that you got to be was fun. But we finally got to meet Cassandra. And I got to say,
she wasn't that bad.
I mean, it's a little soon, but at least she's alive. At least she doesn't look
alive,
like she's dead
and she has
behind
the
eyes.
And she has the stuffed animal.
I just didn't like her calling her mommy, though. Like, yeah, she sounded so, mommy. you're a little old girl for you to be going, hello, mommy. 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 I was just like, just call her mom or mama or something. She sounded like she was like eight, like a little
kid.
Well,
at least, I agree, but at least I'm kind of curious to see what she does.
Yeah, I mean, Josh is around. You know, where the is Josh?
And Amanda.
All right, Amanda has no ties really on the show right now. Josh is Erica's son. Why is he not visiting her?
I totally agree.
Where is he to be
found? He's going to come back with the Darfur line with Jake. Because he was helping Zach with that.
I hope so. I really hope that Josh is around and they better not kill Julia.
We'll see, people.
All right. Well, it's been another interesting week.
It sure has. We have very much enjoyed talking about it with you. If you want to write us and tell us to shut the F up about Aiden Turner, you may do so by writing us at pvp@pinevalleypodcast.com. Or you can go to our MySpace page. You can leave us a comment. You can send us an email. You can become our friend. www.myspace.com/pinevalleypodcast. Or you can go to our website and you can find links to all of this stuff. www.pinevalleypodcast.com. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I am your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
And here's a little something just for you.
She's back on the streets to feed for the night. With grief, she cuts like a knife. Break you to things that no others could do. She turn a professor into a fool. Oh, she ain't hard to get. The girl gets around. Those that she met, they're destined to drown. She make a change like you never believe. She turn a working man into a thief. Oh, she's Erica, 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 Erica. She's Erica, 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 Erica. Erica, 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 Erica. She's Erica, 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 Erica. Yo, yo, she's Erica, Erica, Erica. She's Erica.